Welcome to Shattering Myths. I'm your host and tour guide, Yana. Each weekday morning, I strive to expose the beguiling and destructive myths that are associated with religion and politics, with patriotism in the media, and with military and economic schemes. If you listen, your eyes may be opened, and you may ultimately change your mind towards your allegiance to some of these human institutions. Instead of merely presenting the news, my mission this morning will be to help you understand what's occurring behind the headlines, all while predicting how the events they depict will shape our world over the next 20 years. Then, during our second hour, we're going to engage Yahweh on his terms by way of his one and only covenant and through his always dependable Torah teaching. So with his guidance, you'll be able to replace your religion with reason and engage in an actual relationship with God. Our number for those who would like to engage in this discussion is 877-300-7645. By way of program note, on Wednesday of this week, we'll have David Rubin on the program. David will be a first-time guest on the program. He is an expert on all things Israel, having served as a mayor in Israel previously. Ben Barek will be back. He is an expert on misguided American politics. He will be with us on Thursday morning. And then, as usual, we're going to have IQ Al-Rasuli on Friday. It'll be during the afternoon, or not the afternoon, but the second session on Friday. IQ is not only the world's foremost expert on Islam, since CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, is about the task of attempting to redefine jihad so that it's a positive term. Our topic will be jihad. Yes, you heard that correctly. That the CARE, after having had hundreds of thousands of Muslims prove that jihad is holy war in Allah's cause, and that it is a violent deed with weapons, and it is the principal that its principal tactic is terrorism. Yes, CARE wants to beguile people into believing that jihad is nothing more than a personal struggle, and that you could have my jihad could be to reach out to a new neighbor and make a new friend. Yes, in that case, that Hitler's book, my Mein Kampf, would now become my jihad. It's my personal struggle to make friends with the rest of Europe. You probably have been irritated by my residual cough that is a stubborn symptom of the flu, which I got a little over 2 weeks ago. The bad news is that the flu that I suffered from is now officially an epidemic in the United States. 7.3% of the deaths caused by disease last week were caused by this particular strain of flu. So it is no lightweight. It is something you ought to be very careful about. The early start of this particular flu season has overwhelmed doctors' offices and hospitals. 9 of 10 U.S. regions have elevated flu activity, confirming that the flu has spread all the way across the country. And it has reached extraordinarily high levels in many places of the country. What's interesting is the place that I got it, which is the central coast of California, is the only place that is reported to have had normal flu activity. They obviously didn't survey me. Tens of thousands of Americans die every year from the flu. Even in non-epidemic years, the threshold for an epidemic is that it causes more than 7.2% of the deaths associated with disease in a period of time. We do want to keep track of diseases and the escalation in deaths from diseases, because one of the things that comprise the signs of the last days, according to Yahusha, during his Olivet Discourse, were birth pangs, which means increasing frequency, increasing magnitude of seven different things. One of those was pandemics. So any significant deaths that are epidemic in nature would begin this these birth pangs. I'm not suggesting in any way, shape, or form that this year's flu season is a sign of these things, but you just want to be careful here and keep your eyes open because they are one of the birth pangs for the last days. As we consider that, recognize that we are now about 20 years from, just a little over 20 years, from the end of the tribulation, which means that it'll begin 7 years prior to that, 13, just a shade over 13 years from now. So we are entering the last days, but we certainly are not anywhere near the end of them. That will not occur for at least 10 to 15 years, at least in terms of the more extreme periods associated with those signs and this upcoming tribulation. In the news prior to this program, I heard the SRN announcer say Islamist extremists. That's the first time I think I've heard that term. I've heard it Islamic extremists. I've never heard Islamist extremists. Islamist is the term that that politically correct media and political types have used to replace Islamic or Muslim, and Islam, an Islamist is considered a very politicized, terror-centric, power-hungry Muslim who wants to impose Sharia law and is willing to use jihad to accomplish their goal. That is how we have migrated from calling that person a Muslim or referring directly to the religion of Islam. We've coined this new term called an Islamist. And so it was done to keep from having to say an Islamic extremist. And so now we're even bundling the terms together, and it's an Islamist extremist. It's kind of like saying terrifying terrorist or merciless Muslim. You're being a bit verbose here. Speaking of these Islamist extremists, President Francois Hollande just put his foot in quicksand. He has now deployed French troops in operations against Islamists, the news media is reporting, in northern Mali. Mali is not a country that most of us are particularly up to speed on exactly the location of Mali, but for those who don't know, you're probably guessing maybe sub-Sahara Africa, western Africa. It's a landlocked country in western Africa, kind of where the hump of Africa protrudes into the Atlantic Ocean. Well, a landlocked country, you know, south of Tunisia and Libya. But miles east of the Atlantic Ocean is where Mali can be found. And so French troops have, quote, brought support this afternoon, according to Holiday. This was news from Friday, to fight against the terrorist elements, he said. We're once again defining an enemy as terrorist when terrorism is nothing but a tactic. You can't fight against a tactic. You can fight against a foe. The foe would be Islam in this case. The tactic that Muslims are using is their favorite, which is terrorism. Armed groups, some they say linked to Al-Qaeda, took control of northern Mali in April. So they've been in control now for quite some time, but Muslims are never content with controlling just the areas that they are the majority of the population. They wish to control everything, and even when they control everything, there is no peace, because then you have Muslims who consider their Islam to be better than the other guy's Islam, fighting them for control. And, of course, before we go on, we have to clarify that the journalist who wrote this is an idiot. And that they do not know that there is no connection to Al-Qaeda with these Islamists. When we raided in Osama bin Laden's home and murdered him, one of the things that was determined for absolute fact, something that I had been saying for years prior, was that Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda were absolutely meaningless. They were irrelevant. They weren't even a meaningful symptom in the overall issue of the jihadist nature of Islam. And what we found when we went through his files, both computer and handwritten files, is that he had no influence on anyone. And so these, no organization was linked to Al-Qaeda. As a matter of fact, the at the time, the two organizations that used the Al-Qaeda brand because it was so well received in the Islamic world. Yes, you heard that correctly. The group that America thinks is their primary enemy is heralded as a as being heroic in the realm of Islam because their value system is the antithesis of that of the West. That what we found is that the two that bore aspects of his name, they called it Al-Qaeda of Iraq and Al-Qaeda of the Arabian Peninsula, that he despised both movements, that he sought to influence them, and that his influence was rebuffed, and that his letters to them were extraordinarily critical, where he said that he wanted nothing to do with them. And so this notion that there are groups linked to Al-Qaeda is an absolute myth, and the myth is being perpetrated for a reason, and that is that if the West can present an enemy that bears a different name than Islam, that gets countries like France and the United States and Britain to go to war to be fighting those bad guys out there, it takes attention away from their destructive behavior within their own countries, and it creates this artificial enemy that everybody can galvanize around and wave the flag and be patriotic to fight. But it is an absolute lie. This article continues, the Islamists have sought to enforce an extreme interpretation of Islamic law. Now, that, too, is not factual. They simply want to impose Sharia. And Sharia law is not an extreme interpretation of anything. It is simply fundamentalist Islamic law. It is based upon the words and deeds of Muhammad. To call Muhammad's words and deeds extremist in the context of Islam is absolutely stupid. I'm Yada, this is Shem. Hey. Back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. We're talking about France's recent invasion, this over the weekend into Mali. You know, as the world is crumbling, particularly the Islamic world, going through this Islamic Reformation, becoming increasingly more fundamentalist as a result of the Islamic reformation of Islam based upon the fundamentals of Islam. It is amazing that you would have thought that after having witnessed Tunisia go from secular to Islamist, having witnessed Egypt go from secular to Islamist, having witnessed Libya go from secular to Islamist, having witnessed the Iraq at the United States interference go from secular to Islamist, having witnessed the impossibility of trying to move Afghanistan from being Islamist to anything other than Islamist, that when this fight broke out in Mali, particularly noting the failure of the world in the Sudan and Somalia, as well as Yemen, that there is no way that anyone in their right mind would have committed foreign troops to oppose Islam without first reading the Quran and Hadith and coming to understand that the enemy is fundamentalist Islam, that you can't engage here unless you're going to admit that you're fighting against the religion of Islam. And you can't win this war with bullets and bombs. You can only win this war with the truth, with it wielded boldly, effectively, bluntly, in an uncompromising fashion. And yet, here in the midst of all of this, even with Syria disintegrating around us, going from, in the throes of going from secular to Islamist, the French president decided to commit French troops to Mali. Mr. Holliday said that the French military action had been decided on Friday morning and it would last as long as necessary. Well, if he were to stay there as long as necessary, the French will never leave because they will never get resolution. They will never resolve the problem. This is not a foe that can be defeated with bullets and bombs. Air raids on them will only make them stronger. Shooting them will only manufacture more of them. It is exactly what America experienced in Iraq and in Afghanistan. You cannot win a war against a religion with bullets and bombs. He would go on to say, Mali is facing an assault by terrorist elements coming from the north whose brutality and fanaticism is known across the world. Yes, their brutality and the fanaticism of Islam is known across the world. But terrorism is simply a tactic. If you, too, are going to engage in a war against a tactic, you, too, will sacrifice your sons' and daughters' lives. You will spill your country's wealth, its coin, making a bad situation worse. Islam is brutal. It's repulsive. It's morally bankrupt, which is why the terrorist elements, which are Islamic fundamentalists, have been so brutal and fanatic. He said that Mali's existence as a state was under threat and referred to the need to protect its own population of 6,000 French citizens living there. France ruled Mali as a colony from until 1960. French Foreign Minister Laurent Fabius said that the aim of the operation was to stop Islamist militants from advancing any further. Yeah. Well, at least he had the integrity to use Islam. Now, he used Islamist, which is designed to convey a super misguided hijacked form of Islam when it is actually fundamentalist Islam. But at least he used Islam and militant and connected those concepts. But he says that the mission is to stop them from advancing. It can't be done. Not with bullets and bombs. It can be done. It can be done the way IQ al-Rasuli promoted on this program. He has in the past and will again in the future. Which is that if enough people become aware of how rotten Muhammad was, that the fact that he was a sexual pervert, the fact that he was a ruthless terrorist, the fact that he was a slave trader, the fact that he made up his Quran and Hadith to satiate his own personal lust for sex, power, and money, and that his revelations were stupid, absolutely ridiculous in the extreme, and grotesquely immoral, and that his God was modeled after Satan. When people come to realize the truth of those statements and then actively oppose Islam, criticizing it, condemning it, then this battle can be won. But it can only be won when enough people stand up and do the right thing. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yada. We're covering the story of the French invasion of Mali for a lot of reasons. One is it's astonishing that the Western world would continue to engage trying to stop the flow of Islamic fundamentalism, this Islamic reformation, without stopping to understand what the cause of the movement is, what is inspiring Muslim to advance. And that they would continue to try to thwart them with bullets and bombs when bullets and bombs have been counterproductive. It has actually aided and abetted Islamic fundamentalism as opposed to slowed it down. We're covering this as well to so that folks might know the consequence of doing stupid things, of providing arms, for example, to the Libyans, so that the Libyans could, as fundamentalist jihadists, could overthrow a secular government. And what happens with the spread of those weapons, we can consider the wisdom of Qatar, that whose emir is constantly providing American weapons to jihadists, not only in Libya and now in Mali, but also in Syria, and the consequence, the deaths associated with the spread of those weapons. Hundreds of thousands of people are being killed as a result of that policy. We're also studying this because Yahweh, in his Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, had a great deal to say about the rise of Islamic fundamentalism prior to the tribulation, and how the tribulation's initial war, World War III, would be between a united Islamic front of many Islamic states, all under the auspices of Magog, attacking Israel in unison during the opening days of the tribulation. This will follow a peace treaty that Israel and her neighbors, Muslims, will ratify, that will be done in the spirit of Hudabaya, which will make Israel easier prey for Muslims. It will be very much like what Neville Chamberlain did with the high ground of Czechoslovakia that ignited World War II. And so there are many reasons that we are considering this French action, because it's so easy to predict where it is going to go, the consequence of this invasion. So the French foreign minister, Laurent Fabius, wouldn't you love to have a name, Fabius? Somebody could look across the room and say, he's fabulous. Well, nonetheless, Mr. Fabius was to say that the aim of the operation was to stop Islamist militants from advancing further. And, of course, what we have learned, at least those with their eyes open have learned, that you cannot stop a religious movement with bullets and bombs. When you do so, you actually play into their hands. You create more zealots than you can possibly kill.
I was just going to chime in and say you were just talking about there would be a treaty that would, you know, make Israel give up the high ground, things like that. Mm-hmm. Doesn't the recent appointment of, or the nomination of Hegel, isn't that something that could be a catalyst for that? Because he has had, I'm not going to say, I don't know how anti-Israel they are, but he has said stuff against Israel.
Right. Yeah, he's as anti-Israel as Barack Hussein Obama. Exactly. We are going to hold that thought, my dear friend Scott, because on Wednesday, when we have David Rubin as our guest, that is going to be our topic.
Okay.
And so I want you to ask him that question, because that is the area that he is particularly expert.
Okay.
Returning to Mr. Fabius, he said, we need to stop the terrorist breakthrough. Otherwise, the whole of Mali will fall into their hands, threatening all of Africa and even Europe. Does this sound like the domino theory all over again? Do you recall the domino theory? Are you old enough to know the domino theory, Scott? Or were you born after the domino theory became the principal catalyst for American foreign policy?
I don't know it per se, but I understand it, I guess.
Yeah, the domino theory was used as the justification for America invading Vietnam. What we concluded was that since the Soviets, who were allegedly our ally in World War II, that's just with the problem of Sun Tzu. If the enemy of your enemy becomes your friend, then you begin to empower morally bankrupt regimes, then the consequence of prevailing perhaps in the initial battle will be that you will lose the long-term war. That's what happened in World War II. The United States made a terrible misjudgment and align with the Soviet Union. Well, the Soviet Union did provide the means for communists and North Vietnam to try to take over the whole of the country. So the United States invaded on what's called the domino theory. They take over the South, then they will take over Cambodia, then they will take over every neighboring country in Asia, and then America itself will fall. One domino leads to the other domino falling. That was the theory that justified the killing, the murder of 60-some-odd thousand Americans in Vietnam. And that is now the exact theory that Mr. Fabius is deploying on behalf of the French government in Mali. So goes Mali, so goes Africa, so goes Europe. This is not true. Now, there is a foe to be fought here for certain. The Muslims that are trying to assert themselves and impose Sharia law on the country of Mali will stop at nothing. They will continue to terrorize, to bludgeon, to kill, to rape, to plunder, to destroy. And that's all they will ever be able to do. They're never able to build. They're only a threat in their numbers and their ferocity. And there are ways to fight effectively religious foes. Yahweh's principal technique for fighting religious foes is to expose and condemn them using words. We should follow his example. This is a follow-up story, and I have several more on what happened in Mali. Islamist fighters in Mali, according to the report, have now seized a town in a government-controlled territory amid the military intervention by France. In other words, rather than France stopping the assault of the Islamists by their attack, they've actually exacerbated it. Rebels, and this says of the Al-Qaeda-linked movement, we don't need to berate that anymore, for oneness and jihad in West Africa. Boy, how does the Council on Foreign Relations, justify the use of jihad as the rallying cry, oneness and jihad of these terrorists in Mali who are brutalizing the population? Saying that, I guess, their oneness in jihad just happens to be their personal struggle, which is to kill everything that doesn't surrender to them. He said that they said that France would now pay for its intervention. Spokesperson Abu Dabar told the foreign press that France has attacked Islam, and we will start attack and strike at the heart of France. Another spokesman, Omar Old Hamatha, told Europe Radio 1, France has opened the gates of hell for all French. You know, it's one of the things that's always mine is most of the time when Muslims pound their chests and brag as to how they're going to do this, that, and the other thing to all the people they don't like. When their retaliation, they always speak of as opening the gates of hell. Quite telling. Their God Allah spends all of his time in hell. He spends every time that Allah is presented in the Quran, he is spent torturing people in hell. And so the onslaught of Islam is opening the gates of hell. Too bad these Muslims can't figure out that they're on the wrong side, that they're representing hell, that they're bringing out hell. I mean, all you got to do is open your eyes. Where are the most hellish places on earth to live? Those places controlled by Islamic governments. This idiot on behalf of Islamic jihadism said France has fallen into a trap which is more dangerous than Iraq, Afghanistan, or Somalia. At least 11 Malian soldiers and a French helicopter pilot have already died. The next story, same arena. France has expressed surprise at the fighting strength of the Islamists in Mali, as the nation kept up its bombing of militant targets for a third day. The presidential office in Paris said that the militants were, quote, well-trained, well-equipped, and well-armed. Well, how did they become well-trained, well-equipped, and well-armed? You know, there aren't Islamic manufacturing plants for 50-caliber machine guns. Muslims don't have manufacturing facilities for rocket-propelled grenades. Muslims don't have manufacturing plants for shoulder-fired missiles. You know, the weapons that they are using, the anti-tank weapons, the anti-aircraft weapons that they are using, and most of their assault rifles are made in the West. Most of them made by America, by the way. And even when they're AK-47s, America makes AK-47s, so that when we distribute them through through screens like Qatar, they're thought to be from Russia as opposed to from us. But there are weapons. We made the weapons. And they have these weapons because the United States thought it would be a grand idea to equip the rebels in Libya, which were nothing but the same Mujahideen, the same jihadists that we were fighting in Afghanistan and Iraq, that we thought it would be a great idea to provide them with top-of-the-line weapons so that they could take out the secular government of Libya. Well, guess where those weapons are now? Guess who's training them to use the weapons? Because we sent CIA and the French and the Brits all sent officials into Libya to train the Libyans, rebels, the Mujahideen, how to use these weapons. Just like we did in Afghanistan. We provided the Taliban in Afghanistan with weapons to go against the Soviet-backed government, and we trained them how to use them. There are weapons. We provided the training. It's a consequence of doing the wrong thing. You know, I've brought this up before, but, you know, America thinks that the surge and the awakening program that was conceived in Iraq that prior to America's withdrawal was a good thing. And I said, wait a minute. What you're doing here is you're providing weapons and training for fundamentalist Sunni Mujahideen, and you think that's a good thing. This will come back to be a disastrous thing. And it was those weapons and those Sunni Muslims that became the first to weaponize what was a peaceful revolution in Syria. And now we've done it in Libya, and look at the consequence in Mali. But no one holds those who did these things accountable. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yada. We're talking about the gargantuan French mistake of invading Mali, but it was not the first mistake that the French or the Americans or the Brits have made in this regard. We're talking about the weapons that that they have. This is a statement from the French president's office. They said at the start, we thought they would be just a load of guys with guns driving around in their pickups. But in reality, they are well-armed, well-equipped, and well-trained. Now, the reality here is that all you'd have to do is open your eyes and look at the newsreels. When the Libyan story was first reported, and we had the grainy newscasts typically shot on cellular phones. One of the things that struck me, and I spoke about it the moment it happened, was that the pickup trucks that they were driving around were aimed with anti-tank weapons. They had 50 caliber machine guns bolted onto them. People were carrying around shoulder-fired missiles, surface-to-air missiles. They were extraordinarily well-armed with very sophisticated weapons, far more than just assault rifles. And so the question was, where were they getting them? And it was easy to trace. The initial weapons came from the Sudan, which is the most repulsive Islamic regime on the planet today, a regime that has perpetrated genocide on its own people, killing 3 million African animist Christians and African Muslims over the past 20 years. That the initial weapons came from the Sudan, and then a flood of American weapons were channeled through Qatar with the United States blessing. And these weapons were all given to jihadists. Read the stories of the backgrounds of the leaders of the jihad groups that they were given to in Libya, and it read like the who's who of who was opposing America in Afghanistan. The largest flux of international jihadists into Afghanistan, if you consider the fact that the Taliban was Pakistani, so that accounts for most of them. But second only to Pakistan, in the Taliban assault on with American weapons against the Russian-backed government was Libyans. And the Libyans that were the most active there and who stayed there to then fight against the United States after we invaded Afghanistan, again, were Libyans. These were the same Libyans. Same individuals. And those are the people that we armed. And there's a direct consequence of doing that. And at the time I said, this is really stupid. You know, Muammar Gaddafi, bad guy. But the guys that are opposing him are far worse. We ought not be arming them. Bad things are going to happen. Of course, they use those very weapons to kill the American ambassador. Something that this president wants to blame on a movie that had absolutely nothing to do with it. You know, the ambassador was killed by a fundamentalist Islamic group called Ansar Sharia, the Friends of Sharia. Groups of Muslims that have exactly the same agenda as do the Muslim terrorists in Mali to impose Sharia law. Friends of Sharia law. Well, here now we find the president of France saying that from Libya they have gotten hold of up-to-date sophisticated equipment, which is much more robust and effective than we could have imagined. How could you not have imagined it? How could you not have known this when it was broadcast before our eyes? I mean, today, to understand what's happening in the Islamic world, you don't need a CIA. You don't need an NSA. All you need is to look on the internet, to look at the pictures that are coming out of these countries, to know, look at the pictures of what's happening to Syria. It's just, it's devastating in terms of the scale of the death and destruction that Islam is bringing upon the world. And yet, here we are with the French invading and being surprised. French President Francois Hollande said that France and Europe would be threatened by the creation of an Islamic state in Mali. I mean, come on, folks. Mali is a landlocked country. You know, if Europe is going to be threatened by Islam, it isn't going to come from Mali. It can't even come from Libya. Libya has no oomph. It's not going to come from Tunisia. And Tunisia and Libya are at least positioned. It's not going to come from Egypt. Could come from Turkey, if Turkey were ever to get its act together, because they have NATO weapons. Could come from Saudi Arabia, because they have American weapons. But this is absurd. The reasoning is absurd. The thinking is absurd. We're acting like utter fools, and we're bringing this hell upon ourselves, to quote the Islamic jihadist. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects